nothing. Man, I think I'm on to something. You know, I feel just like a kid again. I got a brand new girlfriend. Woo! Cute, cute, cute. She likes to write her names in the sand. She's hearing wedding bells and making plans. She's gonna have. She hadn't even told me she loves me yet. I got a brand new girlfriend. We went and jumped off a deep end. We fly to LA for the weekend. Spend the whole day lying on a beach wearing nothing but a smile, playing kids.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Senator John Cornyn of Texas says the FBI has agreed to help locate Texas Democratic legislators who've left the state to deny Republicans a quorum as they pursue redistricting. ABC's Luke Barr has more from Washington.
We've asked the FBI. They've said no comment on that. But it's unclear what the FBI can actually do. And so Texas Senator John Cornyn thanked FBI Director Cash Patel and the president for his assistance, but we don't know what that means.
The White House denied the Kremlin's claim that President Trump and Vladimir Putin have agreed to meet. The White House has insisted that Putin also meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky, which he's denied to do. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meeting today with his security cabinet, expected to request approval for a plan to take control of all of Gaza. An extreme heat in the southwest leading to protests from workers at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. They say catering companies are violating a law by failing to provide air conditioning. This is ABC News. Prosecutors in Tennessee say they'll seek the death penalty against Austin Drummond, the man charged with killing four people in Lake County. He was captured last week after nearly a week-long manhunt. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll's praising the soldiers who helped subdue the sergeant who authorities say opened fire at Fort Stewart in Georgia Wednesday. Joshua was one of the soldiers.
Obviously, I didn't have a gun on me, so there wasn't much I was going to be able to do unless I could go save some lives. So I ran down towards where I heard the noise come from. I passed a casing on the ground, and then I'd look up and a soldier saying, "I got shot, I got shot, I got shot." Immediately put the soldier on the ground, got the top off, rendered aid.
Five soldiers who were hurt are expected to recover. The suspect is in custody. And nearly 24 years after the September 11th attacks, the New York City Office of the Chief Medical Examiner announced that they've identified the remains of three more victims of the World Trade Center. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one too. Switch to Progressive and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Ayling. An inmate found guilty in connection with the 2024 death of Lincoln Hills youth prison counselor Corey Prue has been sentenced.
Ryan Nyblum will spend 5 years in prison and 5 years on extended supervision for two counts of battery by prisoners. The now 19-year-old provided Javarius Hurd with a cup of soapy water, which he allegedly threw in the face of a female correctional officer, sparking a chain of events that led to Prue hitting his head on a hard surface in the courtyard of the facility. Prue died at a nearby hospital. Hurd is scheduled for trial in February for reckless homicide. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Controversial local elected official in Dane County is facing a recall.
The DeForest Village Board has set a September 16th election to recall trustee Bill Landgraf after the village clerk validated more than 1,500 signatures on a recall petition. A recall committee has endorsed Alicia Williams, who fell just short of winning a seat as a write-in candidate this past spring after the board voted to remove fluoride from the village's drinking water. Her candidacy and the recall, a reaction to that vote, as well as to what petitioners have termed concerning and inappropriate behavior from Landgraf, who says he intends to retain his seat. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A series of air quality alerts has expired, but the Wisconsin DNR says they could be back. The Canadian wildfires remain ongoing, and Craig Czarnecki with Wisconsin DNR Air Management says the last few years have seen significant impacts from the fires.
Last year, we only had 3 days with a advisory for wildfire smoke. This year, we are up to 22 days.
Czarnecki says in the short term, Wisconsin's air quality will continue to improve into the weekend, but around Sunday and the beginning of next week, there's potential for another advisory.
The drive-thru window is now open at J.M. Watkins Meats, serving hot coffee Monday through Friday from 5:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 to 2. J.M. Watkins Meats has an online store where you can order all of your favorite cuts of beef, pork, and lamb from local farmers for that Labor Day holiday get-together. Order for in-store pickup or order in advance and pick up at the drive-thru. Visit jmwatkinsmeats.com or visit them in person 3 miles west of Plum City on Highway 10.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Very warm and muggy today, with high temperatures climbing to the upper 80s. Then this afternoon, showers and thunderstorms spark. Rolling into our evening, they should wind down late tonight, giving way to a very sunny, hot, and humid Friday. Get the bathroom you've always wanted, interest-free from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, 78 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Not again this week, but there are some issues raising anxiety levels in the industry. We'll talk about those. We get a production report next week. We'll talk with a veteran crop watcher about what to expect. And let's take a look at new technology to develop new herbicides.
Live from the downslope to the weekend via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Justin Tupper from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Then it's Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor. And later we'll speak with Tony Clem from ENCO. Directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us. Instead of making hay, let's just go ahead and do the radio thing.
I don't know. The sun's shining. I mean, that's the time to do it.
I know it.
I'm just saying.
I know it. Yeah, but there's a lot of things I'd rather do instead of making hay.
Okay. Maybe we can just say, hey!
Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because when we get Angie from Drovers on here, she's got a series at drovers.com on alternatives to making hay and how it really costs you to make hay for that cow herd.
So in other words, you stay inside, maybe you play video games, you look at your phone instead of making hay. These are alternatives?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if those are the alternatives that Angie's going to talk about, but there are some alternatives out there for making hay. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis Michelson.
Hello,
dude,
everyone.
Storms rolling through central, southern Iowa, northeast Missouri this morning, down into the central part of Missouri as well. So there are some storms out there that we need to watch, and there's even some severe thunderstorm warnings in place in north central Missouri right now. Right. So heads up there.
Indeed.
Heads up there.
Here locally,
hey,
we're
how's everything going? Good.
80 degrees and sunny. Wow. What more do I need to say? You know,
pretty good day so far. I really don't know, except for up here at 75 degrees and partly cloudy. We're going to be getting some heat moving into the area later today. So it's coming. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Well, Chip, according to the National Weather Service, severe thunderstorms and heavy rain are expected across the northern plains this afternoon into tonight. A few tornadoes, large hail, and severe winds are expected.
heads up on that. As the heat comes in and that south wind brings in some moisture, it's going to get, the potential is there for it to get gnarly.
Mm-hmm. Well, corn futures were a few cents higher this morning, with soybeans fractionally lower and wheat around a nickel higher. The U.S. dollar index was little changed, with crude futures up slightly ahead of the open. Chip, my stars, if my eyes don't deceive, we may have some upward movement in corn and soybeans this morning, eh?
Yeah, we do. We do. 2 to 3 cents higher in the corn, 3 to 4 cents higher in soybeans. The important thing is we spiked the $4 level yesterday in December corn futures, closed back above that level, and today we're trying to build on and move above that $4 level. Hopefully that's what we do from this point forward.
Well, Chip, private exporters reported the following daily sales activity: 106,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 2025-26 marketing year, and 105,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Guatemala during the 25-26 marketing year, buddy.
Now, the weekly export sales report that was out this morning, it's for the week ended July 31. Really, really solid sales, especially on new crop corn, more than 3 million metric tons. There's evidence in the weekly export sales report that prices have gotten low enough to bring more demand into the market.
Well, Chip, the People's Bank of China increased its gold reserves in July, marking 9 consecutive months of purchases, which are helping it diversify its holdings away from U.S. dollars, bringing China's total of purchases since last November to around 36 tons of gold. Spot gold prices were on the rise at the time of this writing just a little bit ago, trading around $3,400 per troy ounce. Reuters reports ADM posted its lowest second quarter profit in 5 years as trade challenges and uncertain biofuels policies slowed sales. Uncertainty surrounding that U.S. biofuel policy and continued trade tensions pushed second quarter profits to multi-year lows for multiple crop trading companies, including ADM and Bunge. Russian President Putin and President Trump will meet for summit talks within the next few days, the Kremlin said. Russia and the U.S. have agreed on a venue for the meeting and, quote, together with our American colleagues, we are starting to work on specific issues with the aim of holding the talks next week. This according to Kremlin foreign policy aide Yuri Ushakov. European and U.S. stock futures rallied overnight on the news. New tariff rates are now in effect, with higher rates for almost all U.S. trading partners. The tariffs will push the average U.S. tariff rate to 15.2%, according to Bloomberg Economics estimates, with some countries facing duties as high as 50%. Trump said the tariffs will lower U.S. trade deficits with other countries and push U.S. companies to move manufacturing back here to the United States. Crude oil traders are working to ease a global diesel fuel crunch, but the window to replenish stockpiles is narrowing. That's due to the upcoming annual hurricane season and refinery maintenance. Oil traders say it's going to be a tight race to refill those storage tanks, which have only recently begun to rise from dramatically low levels. Chip.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Angie Stump Denton. She is the editorial director at Drovers. Hey, Angie, how's it going?
Good morning, Chip. How are you doing today?
Good. I love this series that you've got going on www.drovers.com. Instead of making hay, you know, that caught my attention.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of that time of year. And it all started with an article that featured Carson Roberts. He's a state extension forage specialist in Missouri. And he shared 10 reasons why beef producers should consider not making hay anymore. You know, and then we followed up with him on two of those topics. The first was option 6, alternatives for cattle producers to consider instead of making hay with their forage available. And he gave, you know, some alternatives there to what would be more economical than putting up hay for your cows and using that land. And two of them that he shared was stockers. He said you're looking at $766 per acre in gross revenue using stockers, and then with research that Eric Bailey had done, you can make about $200 more per acre than putting up hay when you compare that using stockers to put up hay.
That is amazing.
Another option he gave that I really thought was outside the box that I hadn't really thought about was cull cow grazing. You know, obviously you can buy some of those thin cull cows or, you know, springtime, or you have open cows and you keep them. You put them on that forage and that you stockpiled, or that's great, that's that spring flush. And then you can put some cheap pounds on them and sell them in July and August for a profit with some cheap gain.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I mean, it's all about – it's not saying, you know, listen, you know, if you've got a field of alfalfa out there, you're going to go ahead and make hay with that. But on the available storages and stockpiling the fescue for winter grazing, I thought that was really, really interesting. It's a great series, Angie. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. You too. Get that series and a whole lot more on what's happening in the cattle industry. www.drovers.com. All right. We're going to keep the cattle conversation going. We've got Justin Tupper from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association next.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the NL7 series from New Leader Manufacturing. Discover spreading reinvented. Visit newleader.com today. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are happening in this cattle industry right now. Number one, the market is just smoking hot again this week. And we'll get to some of those issues. And screwworm, we'll talk about that before this is done. Let's bring in Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Justin, it is good to talk with you again. How are you, man?
Hey, good, Chip. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you having us on.
You bet. Hey, Before we get to some of the issues, man, oh, man, you guys lost somebody that I know was very important to your organization and somebody that was very important to the cattle industry here recently. Share some of your memories of Leah Biondo with us.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough loss for the industry and, of course, of us here at U.S. Cattlemen. She was our executive secretary. Like when I testified in front of Congress, she got us prepared. Just a great, great advocate for the industry and a really a tragic loss. But she left a lasting legacy, that's for sure.
Yes, she certainly did. And, you know, Justin, I knew about the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. I paid attention to what you guys were doing. But if it wouldn't have been for Leah, I don't know. I probably would have reached out at some point. But Leah's the one that really encouraged me to get to know what you guys are doing better and to get in contact with you. So Leah was a good friend of AgriTalk and a friend of mine. Like you said, it's a tragic loss for the industry, for a lot of people. So, man, oh, man, the news was shocking when we got it here. She's going to be missed. There's no question about that, Justin.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yep. Hey, let's move on to some of the issues that are happening out there. And I want to go, you know, the cattle market is smoking hot, and it really – it's been, with the exception of one day, it's been really hot since we got that cattle inventory report. It just isn't showing any expansion in the beef herd yet, is it?
No, and I tell you, I think this has gone above and beyond where anybody's expectations maybe were, but this cattle market has just done things that, you know, I was just looking the other day. The feeder cattle board is like $1.20 higher than it was a year ago right now at this time. So that's just unprecedented stuff. And we thought it was pretty good a year ago, you know, in relativity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And some of the sale barn receipts that we're seeing, and Justin works the sale barn, but some of the sale barn receipts we're seeing on fat cattle this week, $259.75 was the top that I saw in some 1,700 pounders. You saw that, didn't you?
I did. It was in my buddy Greg Reichen's barn in Yankton. Yes, there's no doubt. Isn't that something? That's price discovery working there for sure.
That's exactly right. You know, and everybody's like, wow, come on, that's not sustainable. Well, if the packers are there willing to pay that money, then why isn't it sustainable, Justin?
You know, that's a great question. I think a lot of them have questioned that when demand takes a hit, and we haven't seen it. And I think that's a question for the packers. I think that's been mind-boggling to them. I think it's been also wondering when we take that hit as an industry, too. But so far, so good. I mean, they've stayed hooked and keep moving the meat. And with the short numbers, I mean, it's capitalism working at its very best for the cattle industry right now.
Yep. Man, I love the way that you just, you know, described what happened at the barn over in Yankton. You know, price discovery at its best. It's got to be the most valuable pen of cattle that has ever traded, isn't it?
To me, it is the high. I would have to visit with somebody that knew more, but it's definitely as high as I've ever heard, and good for whoever got to sell those cattle, and hopefully it works all the way around.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right. There is a piece of legislation that's out there called the HELP Act, Hauling Exemptions for Livestock Protection. How necessary is this, Justin?
It's huge. I think for our livestock haulers, we've got to have that. You know, it's a very fragile product. We know that we've got to have safe roads and be safety, but we also know we've got to be able to move those livestock, and they have to move some large, sometimes, especially in our area, all the way 700-800 miles, to wheat in Kansas. And, it takes a little bit of, you have to go over the hours to do that. So, it's a big time, exemption that we need, and, U.S. Cattlemen supports it wholeheartedly.
Okay. Yeah, basically, put it in simple terms for us all to understand exactly what it will do. The exemption.
So my understanding is, you know, it'll give an exemption for if you're from destination to destination. Once you've loaded with that perishable product, the livestock on there, you can get to your destination, get them unloaded safely, and then use your rest time at that point in time. And it's something that the industry's done forever. It's just we need to make sure that we can do it legally.
Yep. That's exactly right. My dad drove truck for a long time, and there were days, there were times that he would make the run out to Colorado, pick up some feeder calves to bring back to Iowa. And that was a long haul, but you don't stop when you got a load of calves on. You just keep rolling and make sure that, you know, it's their health and safety. That's the priority out there on the road. Let's talk about some trade issues. Number one, we opened up the Australian market to U.S. beef. I don't know if they're going to buy a lot, but it's at least nice to have access, isn't it?
Well, I think exactly. And I think, you know, I have some friends, and my son went to college with some Australian ranchers and gotten to know them pretty well. You know, one of the things that I think it really opens up, they're mostly grass-fed type beef over there, very little grain-fed. And so it's a different kind of market, and it's something they're not used to, and it may take some time to get involved in. But I think it's going to be good for the industry in the long run. And it's fair trade, as President Trump has said. I mean, they haven't taken our product in a long time, and we take theirs. It's just simple and fair trade.
Yep, I hear you. But what is your take on the tariffs put on Brazilian beef coming into the U.S.?
Well, I think, you know, it's an issue that U.S. cattlemen, we've been talking about a lot. And one of the things that we've tried to highlight a little bit is that the tariffs start real early. They meet the quota. I think this year it happened in February somewhere. And as that happens, then there's supposed to be a 24% tariff go on there. Well, are they tariff them on the price in Brazil, or is it a tariff that's being priced at what the product's worth here? That makes a big difference, especially where a lot of those companies are from Brazil and they're selling it to their American subsidiary. And these are issues that we've got to look at and making sure that our domestic herd and our domestic ranchers aren't getting hurt by some of these trade deals.
Great point, Justin. I'll admit, I hadn't given that much thought. If you tariff it at Brazilian value versus the U.S. value, you're right. You're looking at two completely different things there. Good point. Okay, screwworm. Are you satisfied with what is being done on the screwworm protections and controls?
You know, we definitely thank Secretary Rollins for closing it up and trying to make sure that the science plays. I think it's difficult to say that we're never going to get it up here just because of it being, you know, they don't know any borders. The screwworm has no idea where the border is. But I think trying to work with our Mexican partners is always a little bit difficult because you never know for sure what they're following through with or what they're telling us. But I think the secretary has done a good job of really protecting the domestic herd to the best of her ability. And we know that it can't probably be closed forever and that the science eventually will be here. And hopefully we can have a way to mitigate them. But it would be very devastating if it reaches here, and especially in a catastrophic way where if we had a lot of it.
Yeah, yep. Well, yeah, if we'd have a lot of it, it would be a big concern. But what is the biggest concern if screwworm does jump the border? I mean, if somebody has to deal with it, that's going to stink for them. But does it have much impact on the entire marketplace?
You know, that is a great question. The impact of the Mexican border being closed is probably, especially in our very short numbers that we have domestically now, has played into the marketplace. Because it could possibly put less beef on the market again. I think we have a lot of tools to combat it if it does get here. I'm not perfect on all the science, but hopefully we have some tools we can use to keep it down or at least minimize.
Gotcha. Justin, it's good to talk with you, man. And condolences to the U.S. Cattlemen's Association for the loss of Leah and everybody that knew her. And doggone it, that was a tough one to lose. So, Justin, thank you for your time, buddy.
Thank you, Chip, and thanks for all you do for us here in agriculture. Appreciate you.
Farmers and ranchers, RCIS is here for you. We're here with responsive claim service, so you can rest easy no matter what comes your way. Here with local agents who understand your operation. And here with coverage options to support you through increased input costs and market prices. Talk to your agent about your risk management plan or visit RCIS.com. At RCIS, we're here when it matters most. RCIS is an equal opportunity provider. Coverage is underwritten by Rural Community Insurance Company.
You know how to work well under pressure, fighting the clock to get your seed in the ground. At Peterson Farm Seed, we've got your back, and we'll be right here for you with dedicated service, ready to deliver what you need when you need it. Peterson Farm Seed, we're that kind of seed company. Visit PetersonFarmSeed.com today, or better yet, stop by our headquarters in Prosper, North Dakota.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Pushed as extended as high as they are right now.
Yeah, pressure on hogs. What's happening there?
Yeah, cash fundamentals starting to wane seasonally, just falling under pressure. We're down $1.25 in hogs right now. Not terribly uncommon this time of year, but big discounts built in the fall contracts.
All right. Hey, thank you, Lane. That is Pro Farmer economist Lane Acree on Markets Now. If you'd like to get more from Pro Farmer, it's easy. Just go to tryprofarmer.com.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. LoveLost is a free, easy-to-use database utilizing photo matching technology to search participating shelter partners and social platforms to bring pets home. Simply upload a photo to report a lost or found pet to the largest free lost and found database, or pre-register your pet today so you're ready if the unthinkable happens. With over 100,000 reunions and counting, LoveLost unites communities through technology to make a difference. Let's unite to reunite, because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit lovelost.org and register today.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, glad that you're with us. Let's talk crops, crop conditions, crop outlook, crop potential. Dr. Michael Cordonier, he is the Pro Farmer Crop Consultant from Soybean and Corn Advisor. Michael, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Always glad to talk to you, Chip.
Excellent, excellent. Man, it's been a while since we've had a conversation. What's your take on this year's corn soybean crops?
Well, of course, everybody's thinking how big it is. And I have a U.S. corn crop at 182. USDA is 181. And I have a neutral to higher bias. Now, okay. I'm not quite as optimistic as some folks. The highest I've heard is 190. I don't think that's going to happen. But it's all going to depend on the August weather. You know, just looking at some facts and figures here, last year they went up in August for the corn yield, but then they had to come down later on because it stayed dry. And that's my concern, is if the August weather turns dry like it has for the last 2 years, we may not get this most optimistic yield. But I would say we're probably going to end up, I don't know, 183, 184 be my guess. I have my max at 186, but that's going to take at least one or two more good soaking rains to get that. Now, I'm a little bit more optimistic about corn than soybeans. Soybeans, of course, are made in August, and I'm at 52.5 for soybeans. Same as USDA, and I have a neutral to higher bias. I got my maximum at 54. So if the soybeans could get a couple more good widespread soaking rains, especially in the eastern Corn Belt, we can move it a little bit higher. And you know, fortunately for the western Corn Belt, they've been getting lots of rain over there, Minnesota, South Dakota, Iowa. But once you get east of the Mississippi River, rain has been more sparse, and in the south as well, like the northern Delta. So I would say the soybeans have the potential to have a record yield, of course, but we need the August rainfall to finish strong, and that kind of remains to be seen.
Okay. All right. That what planting season over in the east, Michael, and there's some development that's behind where you would like to see it on the corn crop over there. How much of a concern is that?
It would not be a concern if you get rain, okay? But it would be a concern if you don't get the rain. So we're a little bit slow in development. And, you know, we had this tight tassel wrap. I think that is a localized issue. Now, if you got a field, you know, a 500-acre field with the wrong hybrid planted at the wrong time, you may be very disappointed. But on a nationwide basis, I don't see that as a major issue. We've also had very warm nights during July. I think it's like 2.6 degrees warmer than normal for nighttime lows. And, of course, that might impact a little bit of the kernel fill. So we've got a few things to worry about, and there's some dry spots here and there. Now, all that could be resolved with good rains for next couple of weeks. So it kind of remains to be seen. If we don't get the rains, then these things become a little bit more of an issue, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what it is in the last 20 years, the July temperatures were the nighttime lows were the highest in the last 20 years, behind 2010 and behind 2012. Now, 2012 was
correct.
Yeah, it was just a disaster almost from the beginning, even though crop conditions were really good early in the year. But that 2010 crop surprised a lot of people, including me, big time, with the way that it finished. I keep wondering if this year's crop might not have a bit of 2010's problems. Am I overthinking it, Michael?
No, and I agree 100%. You know, we've had very warm nighttime temperatures in July, and now we're getting some in August. And now it's more important than July, quite frankly, because now it's grain fill. So, yeah, you always – and this is a hidden yield robber. You don't notice it out there in the field to harvest, and the kernels aren't as deep, aren't as heavy. They don't weigh as much. So – now, it's not going to be catastrophic, no, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It just may not be quite as high yield-wise as what you think, especially not 190 bushels per acre. To beat the old record by, you know, 10 or 12 bushels, I just don't think that's going to happen. But could we beat the old record by a couple of bushels? Yeah.
Sure.
Now, if we get some good rains in August, that would more than make up for what might lose because of the high nighttime temperatures.
Yeah. Okay. Southern rust. We started talking about it here 3 weeks ago already, Michael. Any major concerns with disease?
Well, you know, a lot of tar spot out there, and the normal disease, there's a lot of fungicide being applied, which is probably a good thing, because with these low commodity prices, you want to maximize your yield to compensate, you know, for the low prices. So I don't see it as the disease issue being, you know, significantly greater than normal. But, you know, field, you want to take care of it for sure to maximize your yields to compensate for low prices. So I do hear a lot of fungicide being applied, so we'll see.
Yep. Fungicides are going on the beans too, aren't they?
Yes. And they pay, fungicide pay for themselves easily on the soybeans. I mean, the more you, actually, I shouldn't say the more you apply, the better it is, but you want to make sure to get your fungicide applied on the beans to control those late sort of diseases.
Yep.
So, yes, there'll be a lot of fungicide out there this year, the way it looks.
Yep. I do have to tell you, Brent Judish farms just, oh, I don't know, 5-6 miles south of me. He started talking about we're spotting some SDS out in the field. The thing that bothers me with that, Michael, is SDS should be a September 6 problem, not an August 6 problem starting to show up.
Well, I guess did he plant it extra early?
It was planted in the middle of April. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's been the trend. Of course, you've been seeing the same thing. A lot of beans planted early compared to years ago. So if you planted mid-April, time of plant development where you see SDS. So it doesn't surprise me. And we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. So it's just something that we need to watch. No question about it. What else on this year's corn and soybean crops? I mean, you've got I know what your max yield is on corn right now, 186. Max yield on soybeans, 54. You've got that upward bias on both of your current estimates at 182 and 52.5. What are the odds that we could get to your max?
I would say for corn, 186, I would give it maybe a 20% possibility.
Okay.
I think it's more, there's bigger odds for the corn than for soybeans. Soybeans, I would give it maybe, I don't know, 10 to 15% possibility. You know, I put my max, my definition always is perfect weather for the rest of the growing season. So, and perfect to me means a couple good soaking rains in August, maybe another one in September, especially for the soybeans. So we'll see if we get those or not.
Yep. At normal to slightly below normal temperatures on that for the perfect season, too. And let's go ahead and extend.
Yeah, you always went below normal temperatures.
Yep. And then let's extend the growing season by about 10 days and make sure that everything gets plenty of time to finish, right?
That's why I call it a perfect rest of the growing season.
Now, that's not too much to
ask
for, Michael.
You have to get rainfall. It's not too much to ask for. It's just perfect, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, we've only got about a minute left. What are you watching down in South America right now?
Well, I think Brazil soybean area goes up maybe 2%. Prices are low, of course. And part of the problem for Brazilian farmers is going to be credit. Credit is expensive. If you want to borrow, if you want to take the loans from the government for production, interest rate is 8.5%. If you're a small guy and a medium guy, is like 12% if you're a bigger guy. And if you're really big and you don't get government loan, it's like 15%. That's the prime rate in Brazil right now. It's 15%. So everybody's complaining. The interest rates are like 2%, 3% higher than last year on production loans. So everybody's going to be tight getting their credit. So they might try to cut back a little bit on inputs, but they won't cut back on area. I mean, it'll be 18 years in a row that the soybean area goes up in Brazil, and I'd put it up, you know, 2%. So it's going to expand. And then that just carries along corn afterwards. Most of the corn, of course, is planted as a double crop after soybeans. So both crops keep going up, and more and more corn being used for ethanol production in Brazil. Yep. You know, I'm just writing a story. There's 25 corn ethanol plants in Brazil. And within a few years, it's going to be double that many.
Wow.
So they're really using a lot of corn now for ethanol.
All right, Michael, we're out of time. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sure. Always my pleasure.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month, a savings of nearly $300 a year.
Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. In a hurry? Don't worry. With SelectQuote, you can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-637-9116. That's 1-800-637-9116. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-637-9116.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Working as a dedicated Fidelity advisor, I always ask, what's important to you? I'll look at those priorities and goals alongside your full financial picture to build a comprehensive plan designed to help grow and protect your wealth. With proactive portfolio insights and an eye on taxes, I'm here to help you make the most of your money. I'm Laura Maxwell, and I'm a dedicated Fidelity advisor. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Tanner Whitmire is the Senior Director for Ag Sales and Support at Hexagon's Autonomy and Positioning Division. Tanner, you know, doing something right is one thing, but the ability to repeat that process is one of the keys to a precision ag program, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We typically see two types of repeatability accuracy. Pass to pass, which provides alignment with the next row. And then you have your year-over-year repeatability accuracy, which this is really what allows the farmers to return to their original guidance line year after year.
All right, so what does Hexagon offer to help with those year-to-year repeatability issues?
So Hexagon provides our TerraStar PPP satellite-based corrections. PPP stands for Precise Point Positioning. And this is a satellite-delivered service that enables the year-over-year repeatability and provides the accuracy level farmers need with services from less than 1 inch up to 20 inches, depending on what they need for their application.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is both RTK and PPP are both repeatable year-to-year, is that right?
Yes, but the difference between RTK and PPP is RTK, the further you go from a base station, the accuracy will drop off. Where from a PPP service, that's straight satellite, that maintains the same repeatability no matter what distance you're away from a base station or from a field.
Tanner, where can listeners go for more information?
So recommend reaching out to your local dealer about Novatel and TerraStar, or visit TerraStar.net for more information.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tanner. That is Tanner Whitmire, Senior Director of Ag Sales and Support at Hexagon's Autonomy and Positioning Division.
Step into the future of agricultural efficiency with New Leader's NL7 Series Nutrient Applicator. The NL7 is the latest innovation in farming equipment designed to revolutionize the way you spread fertilizer. With its unique design, its focus on efficiency, high precision, and high output, the NL7 is a versatile spreader that offers ease of maintenance and ease of use like never before. To see our full lineup of spreaders, including our trailed units with unmatched durability and pinpoint accuracy, visit our website at newleader.com.
Hear that? Those are Pioneer brand soybean and corn fields, the number one seed brand in the U.S., ready to harvest. The combine reaps and separates row after row of innovative genetics. Soybeans fall into bins and bounce off the tin with unbeatable yields. Pioneer corn and soybean seed is the number one brand in the U.S. This is what it sounds like to plant number one. Learn more at pioneer.com/topcrop.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.45% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Boy, the technology development, the pace of development in agriculture is really something to that it's astonishing how quickly some things are developing and how fast farmers are to adopt it. I want to talk about some of that right now with Tony Clem, CEO of Enco. Tony, welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, Chip. Thanks for having me. Great
okay,
to be here.
First things, yeah, first things first, tell me about Enco.
Yeah, super. So, Enco is a crop health company that's taking a different approach to solving one of ag's biggest problems, and that's how to develop safe, effective, and sustainable crop protection products, bring them to market faster, more economical, so we can get products in growers' hands that are effective and are addressing, you know, the major issues that our growers are facing globally.
Okay, faster. That caught my attention really, because right now From starting a project to bringing a product to the market, it can take, what, 12, 15 years?
Yeah, so, you know, typically it takes about 12 years and around $300 million to bring a new active ingredient from discovery to commercial marketization. And you know, regulatory hurdles are growing tougher. There's, you know, and just increasing demand for meeting environmental safety, rightfully so. And our traditional, you know, discovery pipelines for herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, they're just not keeping pace with the real challenges, resistance, and market demands out there.
Yeah. So how are you doing that? What is Enco doing to speed that process up?
Yeah, well, you know, at Enco, we're really talking about utilizing a paradigm shift. And so we're utilizing AI in crop protection discovery. So, you know, if you're farming today, you know, the tools that people are using aren't keeping pace with the problems. Resistance is rising. And as I like to say, Mother Nature always wins. And we haven't seen, you know, really a new major mode of action in years. So this gap is really a challenge. And so crop protection just needs a reboot, and that's what Enco is about. We're providing a paradigm shift from the current industry practice of how small molecule crop protection discovery has been doing. So we use DNA-encoded libraries, and these libraries allow our scientists to explore this massive, diverse chemical space in a very targeted, automated, and expansive way. And so if you think about just being able to look at billions of molecules that we screen for safety and efficacy, we combine that use of artificial intelligence with machine learning to better design molecules faster, you know, be able to optimize our leads, and at the same time, reduce our overall cost, which is what's allowing us to bring this innovation to the field faster. We still have to take that regulatory journey that right now no one's figured out a way to expedite, but getting it to that regulatory queue faster and better on the front side is really what's bringing that advancement, that cost savings, that efficacy, and is going to allow for more products to be put into the regulatory queue on a faster manner.
Okay, so what does your portfolio look like right now, Tony?
Yeah, so you know, we've delivered about 50 active programs to date. And that covers sort of all facets of both weeds, insects, and disease, many using novel or new modes of action. And so, you know, when you think about it, you know, challenges with resistance, it's really stealing yield and limiting our options faster. So my history, and I'm coming off of a 31-year career with Corteva Agriscience and its heritage companies, and I had a big role in bringing the Enlist weed control system to market, and you know, that brought phenomenal change in us being able to handle such things as resistant amaranth, you know, Palmer amaranth and pigweed, name your scientific word you want to call it, but those resistant challenges are out there, and so we're really working on how we can, you know, bring new modes of action to farmers, give them fresh tools to win that fight, and our chemistries work with you know, using fewer active ingredients from a perspective of, you know, load on the acre. So working on that whole designing safer chemistry for the future. And so we've got, you know, these 50 programs, and we just announced a new grass herbicide that is coming out of our European field trials. So we're based in Mystic, Connecticut, which is, you know, a unique place to be based. But we operate globally. And so we just finished field trials of the new grass herbicide in the European cereals weed market, where we were controlling blackgrass, which is a major challenge, brought that to the U.S. and just finished our corn and soy trials here in the U.S. in Brookston, Indiana, Ohio, Minnesota. And so it's products like that that you'll see on the market, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road, depending on how they go through that regulatory queue that we're excited about.
Right, right. Okay. Something that I saw on your site that caught my attention, using far less product per acre with the drone technology that's coming on, Tony, that really caught my attention. Growers are going to be looking for that.
Yeah, you know, so really, you know, what we're about is designing, you know, identifying, designing safer chemistry on the front side, and just working through this in terms of, you know, looking at what the industry needs. And so we all know that lower use rates have been happening for years, right? I remember growing up, you know, as we were applying stuff using literally, you know, thousands of gallons. And now we're down to, you know, putting on grams and ounces. And that's what it's all about, right? Safer chemistry, less environmental load, and more sustainable for the future. And bringing those products out with new novel modes of action that are able to really combat those you know, issues with resistance, both on the weed side, but also on the insect side.
It's exciting stuff, Tony. Thanks for coming on and giving us an update on what's happening there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to bringing our portfolio to growers in the very near future.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tony. That is Tony Clem, CEO of Inco. The technology and the development of the new technology out there it's been impressive to this point. I got a feeling it's going to be even more impressive over the next 10 years. And that's part of it right there. Hey, thank you for listening today. Appreciate it. Come back this afternoon. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the markets, including some really, really good export demand. We've got Craig Turner from the StoneX Group. Tomorrow morning, you know what it is. We got the free-for-all right here on AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Skin looking and feeling tight, irritated, dry, or just meh? Maybe your skincare routine is missing a crucial step. Meet the Calming Mist Toner from Pharmaceris. With hyaluronic acid to deeply hydrate and prebiotics to support your skin's barrier, just a few soothing sprays after washing your face balances your skin's pH and helps the skincare products you use after work better. Dermatologist developed and known worldwide for premium quality, gentle, effective skincare, Pharmaceris is finally available in the U.S. on Amazon. Real users rave about the Pharmacerist Mist Toner. It actually helped reduce redness. It's so gentle and never leaves my skin feeling dry or tight. The calming properties are amazing. I can feel it. Try the Pharmacerist Calming Mist Toner today and see why it's the skincare step you've been missing. Pharmacerist Calming Mist Toner is available on Amazon for only $14.99. Use promo code SKINMIST to save 20%. That's Pharmacerist, Pharmaceris, and use code SKINMIST to save 20%.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.